Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being. To be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story. And tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it, the IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show. Oh my God!
How are you?
Look at us.
How are my lights? Are my lights okay? Is the lighting weird? Shadows, no?
There's shadows. Can you make it brighter, maybe?
Brighter? Okay.
I learned that lights needs to be in front of you directly.
In front of me? Okay. You can do this.
Yeah, especially since we're dark, it's like it's better if it's
in front. But all my blemishes, all my bad skin. Hold on. Okay, we'll put it right here.
You look okay? Awesome.
So shadow. Am I good? No, still shadow. Okay. Let me try. It's only a lamp. I don't know. Am I too?
Weird? This is better. That's better. Oh,
okay. Let me shift it. Okay. Actually, let me do this. Hold on. Oops. I spent 2 hours trying to get this set up together. I was so nervous. I was like, the white background, neutral background, a light in the distance. Okay. Good? No?
Yeah, I love your shirt. Do you have a necklace on?
I have a little brooch. I have a brooch here.
Oh,
just cute. A little, you know, raw stress for less. It's a little nice. Raw stress for less shirt. How are you?
I wrote, someone actually asked me that today, and I had a great answer. I, as of like last year and more this year.
Yeah.
I am living my motherfucking life to the best that I can.
Talk about this. I'm so proud of you, by the way. You've always been so innovative and such a pioneer and all that you do. You know what I'm saying? So I was so happy to hear you had a podcast, and it sounds like a really awesome podcast. Like, how did you, I mean, this is awesome. How did this come from? Like, what did this come out of?
Well, what happened is, 2020 happened. And I was like, I'm playing into the bullshit of the world. And I was just like, I'm tired of the bullshit. So I came up with 4 things for me. Like every year, for some reason, either me or the universe brings me a word or something to work on.
Yeah. Now,
2020, it brought me 4 things, if I can remember them all. It taught me to stop shaming myself, stop guilting myself, and stop being in fear of myself and stop judging myself. So therefore, as we know, an orange cannot give apple juice. So once you start doing those things yourself, you're gonna stop shaming others, stop judging others, stop guilting them. So because I was able to do it for myself. So, but then as the ball was rolling, I fell in, I like to say I fell in love, as we know, but I fell in trauma bond. I learned about all this stuff in psychology and
trauma. Yes, it's very true.
And then that's when I started the podcast, because I was just like, because I had like, of course I had friends, but you know how it is. It's like, sometimes you cannot say everything. And sometimes you tell the story, but you hold some back and whatever. Right. So I was just like, you know what? How the best way to practice this is to put my dirty laundry to the world, literally. Right. Yeah. So when I started doing that, people were liking it. And I was just like, oh, I should include other people who wants to get rid of shame, because shame is holding us back. It was holding me back.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, you know, I'm done of shame, because who's shaming me? Myself. If someone else want to shame me, that's their business. I don't need to take that to myself.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that I've never had a very big sense of shame. There is very little you can do to ever shame me. I don't know where it comes from or how that grew to be, but like shame is a big, because there's shame and there's guilt, right? And shame is always negative. You know what I'm saying? Shame is always a moral judgment on yourself, which is always subjective. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely awesome that you're seeing this now. You know what I'm saying? It's so true. The mind never matter. What you see, you create, and it's all reflexive. You know what I'm saying? And I think that in 2020, the pandemic just like shook the whole world up, and also shook us up internally in a lot of ways that a lot of us didn't know how to give voice to. You know what I'm saying? And I also love that, like, I think it's important for people to have a clear self-concept, but oftentimes your self-concept might not match others' concept of you. You know what I'm saying? And when that happens, what do you do? How do you cope with it? How do you navigate that? You know what I'm saying? And how do you, like, because you have your story, and your story is your story. But if it doesn't match with others around you, or people have things about you, they say, it's like, whose narrative is the correct narrative? So I love that you're like taking control of your narrative and like putting it out there. It's awesome. That's so empowering.
Yes. You know why, number one, why I had to do that? Because I was playing the game and put on the mask to please others. And I was just like, where did that get me? That got me nowhere. You know, when you get on your knees, you're doing the...
You
get elevated. And 2020 happened and I'm still not elevated. So I was just like, you know, I'm going to do me 100% regardless of what it is. Like, another big thing I had to do, and I understand it's kind of taboo, but I did it for me, for myself, for my sense. Of course, this could be part of ego, is I refused to get the vaccine because I was like, you know what? They threatened to take my work away, which they did. So I was just like, so I'm going to literally sell my body.
They fired you from your job?
Yeah. Sell my body under pressure so I can have a job. You know, if I do prostitution, for me, it's willingly, and I want to do it. I'm selling my body willingly. But if I'm prostituting for work in exchange for a vaccine, that's under pressure. That's bullying. And I was just like, you know what? Let's see how long this goes. I'm going to ride this wave. I got some money saved. And in my spirituality, I'm living my best life, because why? I'm in peace right here.
I do love the vaccine discussion. I feel like it's so complex. Like, it's such a, like, I mean, it has so many different levels as to people's rights, people's own bodies and their ownership. And like, it's really a messy dialogue between the government and the people. So I definitely love that you are standing and holding your own. I think it's important to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you have your right, you have every right to do that. You know what I'm saying? It's your body. I got the vaccine because I was like, you know what? There are some battles I don't want to fight. Like, life is hard enough. Like, I didn't get the vaccine until much later, like way late last year. I didn't care. So if I get COVID and I die, girl, you know, just give me a nice funeral, I'll be fine. Like, I really didn't care. I mean, I'm very much like, if it's my time or whatever happens, it's my destiny, you know? But obviously, like, yeah, the world makes it so hard to do anything if you don't have a vaccine. I know in New York, isn't like New York have like vaccine cards and like you can't go in bars?
It's not even that. I feel that I've watched a lot of Holocaust movies or
kind of like Russia and Asia back in the 40s, where you needed really passports to buy your groceries and do things like that. Of course, it's not that extreme yet, but it feels like that.
Yeah,
and it's dividing people. People unfriend me because of that. People don't want to talk to me. I have dates. It's funny. I had dates when we were dating through the pandemic. And when the vaccine happened, they didn't want to date me anymore because I don't have vaccine. But I was like, we were fucking when there were no vaccine. Both of us could have died. What kind of hypocrisy is that?
People on Grindr, like their whole profile is I'm vaccinated. It's like, why are people attaching their identity to vaccination? Why are you? I mean, it's just a vaccination. Like, I don't understand how. I'm so baffled at the psychology. Like, how did you make this a moral issue?
It becomes a moral issue.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. But I think also too, I feel like how they have really politicized it a lot. But I have been one who is. I know a lot about the Nazi Party and the Third Reich Party in the 30s in Germany. And it's funny because like there are so many correlations how that started. It started out just like this. It started out just like people don't know that. Like obviously, when they were in the 30s, no one called it Nazis. It was called the Third Reich. You know what I'm saying? Language is important, and it's crazy how close we are to those Chinese and Russian narratives. We're very close. Yeah.
People don't want to believe it because they feel like people often say it's in the past or it can happen here.
It's so subtle. It's so subtle. Before you know it, we're in a dictatorship. We're in a whole regime of like, it's crazy.
You know what? If I could have done it, because I searched my Facebook. I don't know how those people search people's past and they find shit. Because I searched my Facebook. I said in April 2020, there will be a vaccine and there'll be a card and it will be the devil's mark. Of course, I was making a joke.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. But what did people do? They unfriend me. They get on my DM. They cuss me out. They call me conspiracy theorist, which I am part of it. And look at us now.
Well, wait. What are their arguments? Like, do you ever take time to sit down and hear someone out? Because I'm always like, you know what?
Well, I always hear people out.
So what do they say? Like, what are their? Because I don't get into it. I don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I have a vaccine, but what do they say to you?
Okay, so the funny thing with people is, and usually, okay, so I'll tell you, I actually made a podcast yesterday. Like, I've made a lot of videos, but one of my videos mentioned how, for some reason, in my personal experience, it's usually the leftist Democrats who
liberals.
They throw things at you and then they don't want to hear anything back. They just want to talk, attack, attack, name calling. And funny thing is, a lot of them are white. And at the end of the conversation, they call me N-word.
Ooh.
Yeah, because you know how it is. They punch under the belt. I feel a lot of people, they punch under the belt so they can get at you. And because of what my name is, Zen now, they want to poke me so I can get on their level so they can be like, oh, look at you. And I don't play that. So I haven't found anyone who wants to have a conversation with me unless they were on the right side or independent.
But really?
For some reason, the left, they get on my DM, they cuss me out, and then as soon as I'm going to reply, because it shows on Facebook, and then they block me. That's the only conversation they have, one-sided. But what they usually say is, I saw your post, I disagree, I don't like this, da-da-da-da. And then they always bring up how I'm gay and I'm black and I should be a certain way because of that. Right?
I'm so baffled. Wow.
Yeah, because I'm black, I should be a Democrat who gets vaccinated, who should be on the side of whatever. And I'm like, and then they don't understand how if you are, because I really stuck on the skin color. Because that's not my thing. That's not my thing. But they often want to bring it out. Because they're like, why does race always have to be an issue? But then they're the one who's bringing it. So they bring that in. And I was just like, you don't understand how you thinking you are an ally and your savior. But at the same time, you are telling a black person how to live their life. You don't even know they're on Facebook. And you don't think that's a definition of racism. Like,
you're from Trinidad?
Haiti.
Haiti. Yeah. No, so I'm Now, so I know the Black Caribbean experience is much different from, but I have a best friend who's from Jamaica, and he was born there and he moved here very young. But I've been fascinated to understand how the Black Caribbean experience is much different than the African American experience. Do you feel that strongly or not really?
I feel that 100%. Growing up, I could not understand Black Americans at all. Yeah. Because culturally. You know what I could not understand? Why you need to ask someone for your freedom. Mm. Because it's a God-given right.
Right. Because, you know, see, in the Caribbean, they won their freedoms back on their own. Yeah. So, it's important to know that, because like it shapes the people there. You know what I'm saying? And it shapes our narrative that like we weren't able to do that, and it was the whole. So it's a whole different history. And people, I think a lot of whites don't realize that. Like someone who's from Haiti or Jamaica and for Brooklyn is like totally different people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing with, let's say, a German with a English person, right, or even a maybe someone from Russia or someone from Turkey. Yeah, it's like you shared a common thing, which is skin color. But if you are uneducated or ignorant in the sense of the literally word, and you don't know history, you're just gonna say ignorant things.
Well, yeah, many whites see us all as a monolith. Like Black people, like everyone Black is like one, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like they, it's like one country, like Africa, you know, and Africa, I mean, God, Africa is like, is just so many, like what the media has shown me of Africa over the years I've been alive, it's really crazy how like African descendants, how we are shaped in the fear of Blackness, the portrayal of Blackness is very, very subtle.
I made a podcast about that.
Yes. I mean, I'm just not getting into it, because I'm just now kind of like putting the pieces together and the breadcrumbs of my life. And I mean, I've had a great life, but like why it was the way it was. I mean, growing up Black and gay, like there is just a very specific narrative. I remember growing up Black and never ever feeling beautiful until I did a show in Scotland. I was 25. And literally that was the first time ever in life that men actually flocked to me. And like, it was crazy. And I was like, that's insane. Cause I thought I was the ugliest. I was not cute. Like, you know, I'm the ugly friend. And it was just like, I mean, growing up in Boston and going to Boston, like, yeah, with white was like in the 1990s.
Oh, Boston's white, the worst.
But I love Boston. I do. But like culturally, like, yeah, the Black experience is definitely interesting. And I'm always curious to see how other races see us or don't see us.
Right. I feel some people who grew up in the same religion as I did probably will disagree. And I know a lot of them will disagree, but I am very grateful to be raised Jehovah's Witness until the age of 19 and a half, because everything that I've taken, I'm doing in my life now. And I saw myself as a human being and a spiritual being. And of course, because I'm living in life, I see myself as what other people see me to basically when you're in Rome, play with Rome, whatever, to flow in life. But I don't go around, actually my friends in Boston, like around the time you know me, they call me, before Karen existed, I wasn't a Karen, but before Karen existed, I was a white woman. They call me that. You know why? Because what do we think of white women? They go wherever they want, be whatever they want, demand things, ask for things, and get their way. And me, I was doing that, not because I was a white woman, but I was living my life as a human being. It's my right to just be. I remember to white places and I don't feel low or funny or small. Because of my grown-up.
I remember you so vividly back in like those days in the nightclub. Like, and you were so unique. Like, you had such a different energy about you. And I don't even know if I have words for it, but like, yeah, you definitely had this energy that was very much like, very strong energy and very like confident in yourself in a way that I had never seen a Black person before, especially in that age group. And I knew you had an accent. I was like, where is he from? But yeah, so you've always been that way, very strong headed.
Yeah. I feel there's a question I've been asking since last year. How much of it is I was born with that? You know, the question of like, how much of you is born gay or learned it? And I think it's both, like some people learn and some people are born. But other question is like, how much of me is born like this? And how much of me is learned through my religion? Because I can see a lot of things through my religion that I could have learned, but I feel like I've been this way. I'm this way through my core. Like I grew up not being able to speak well because I had to learn sign language and I had chronic stutterism.
Really?
And, wow, yeah, and I had to learn English and I had to learn to speak. And I had leg issues and I still do it. And I have to do yoga and stretches and exercises to like, you know, get my body going. And I had leg issues since I could remember. But you know what? I never let anyone bully me. And I was the confident kid. People are like, how you're a cripple and you're confident? Like no one ever see that shit. You know, it's like, because if you're a cripple, you're supposed to be this low. And I was just like, I'm a son. I've always called myself, which was, how you call it? A blasphemy. The son of God.
I think, you know, I think
because
that
I am. And we I all are.
The narrative of gay and straight and gender, these are all made up. These are all made up constructs. Like I don't think if people say, was anyone learned born gay or born gay or learned it? I'm like, well, sexual. I mean, there's no hard and fast boundary between gay and straight. And these are all like there's no blood test or no litmus test to see who's gay. And like it's an identity you have. You know what I'm saying? So like, I think that we have to be careful to like be aware of that. Like, was I born gay? I think I was probably born probably more fluid for a concept. And I think I had inclinations toward one or the other. But I think society socializes you into mm-hmm. something. And I think when you grow up and you're not fitting into this one box, you're like, well, maybe I'm in this box. You don't fit in this other box. And I think a lot of us spend our whole lives just trying to fit in pre-made boxes for us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to, we grow up trying to see ourselves reflected back to us. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is that a lot of gay men and gay black men don't have their identities reaffirmed. Like there's no one in the world media to say we are okay. So the question of were you born straight or learned it, I think it's a kind of a, that's such a loaded question, but I think it's kind of like a, it's incorrectly stated. Because do you think that sex is a made up construct or gender is a made up construct? Or do you think it's like, how do you feel about that?
Well, I love how you say we're born fluid.
Yeah, we're born, yeah.
And then we choose in our fluidity, we choose like water is flowing.
Yeah.
So let's say if you water and then part of it is like, and it's becoming cold. So some part of the water is going to choose to be the thin, thin ice. And some of it's going to be the hard ice. And some right. of it's going to evaporate. And I feel like that's us as humans. We all water in the fluidity of life. And then as we're flowing through life, we become rigid in boxes, like we become ice. And some of us are still fluid going through life. And some of us are air, as in like the free spirit. That's an analogy I was thinking. But with the born and thing, I remember my first gay encounter when I was 4 years old. And I do remember when I was 3 years old, even.
With so who? There, what? With what? Huh? Oh, 3 years old.
Yeah, I remember when I was three. Yeah.
Why are you having sex at 3 years old? Why is there sex happening at three?
No. Not sex happening at three, but I remember messing around with other boys when I was 4 years old. But the thing is, I think boys mess around. Then adults call it sex. If that makes sense. Because it was with other kids. It wasn't with adults. It was with other kids. I even remember, oh my God, if this is good for YouTube, but I'm just going to say it. I remember I went to my sister one time and that's how I got in trouble. I told her that someone's vagina tasted like pennies.
Oof.
Because I was going down in some other girl my age.
3 years old?
Like, I really, four or five.
I don't know. That, that's a whole other topic between you and your therapist. But I think that sex has a usefulness. Sex, and children who engage in sexual things, it's a way of exploration. So I don't think like their intent is like sex per se, but like boys mess around because boys have a very tactile sense of like our parts are on the outside. So there's a curiosity there that may be latently sexual. I don't think it's inherently sexual, but by the body parts, it is sexual. You know what I'm saying? But I think a lot of guys mess around and are not gay. You know what I'm saying? Like gay things happen, yeah. But are not.
Like I'm sure yeah, we all I know. Remember me and my brothers, we used to do things that could be called gay until we became old enough, maybe like 8 or 9. And then I was being called gay and then they stopped hanging out with me. I lost my relationship with my brothers. Because we used, like probably 8 or 9, yeah. Because we used to pee on each other's legs when we're peeing. And being raised in Haiti up until I was 10, we used to run around naked. You see those photos in Africa, kids running around naked? Yeah, like that. And funny thing is, there were no adults ever touched me. No adults ever done anything. It was just like kids would do crazy stuff. Like we would like pull each other's ding dong because we were naked. And we, the older kids, sometimes would be like, let's say if they need, as I got older, actually, like with the hard on, I don't want to call it sex. I think it was like fooling around. Like if you owe an older kid something, they'd be like, you need to like touch my stuff or kiss it.
What? Are we swimming?
What?
This is trauma. This is trauma for you. I need you to call therapy.
I mean, I don't feel fucked up for it though.
You know, it's funny because like I have a lot of sexual things happen as well. And I think that I do not experience it. I did not experience it as molestation either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But my therapist was like, no, that is trauma. But I mean, but I did a lot of stuff with older men when I was younger. But I loved it. I often pursued it. But it's still trauma because your mind is not ready to cognize.
But what is trauma? What is definition?
Trauma is harmful. It's harmful for children to have a consciousness of that young. Like, I wonder where those young boys learn all about that. Like what, because it's all pattern. So it's like, there's some sort of trauma happening in the backdrop of that. But I mean, who knows? But I mean, like, that raises questions. Because I think that while kids have sex organs and they can feel good, I think if they're using sex like that, like you do this for me and kiss my willy or kiss whatever, like that bears discussion.
That bears discussion. So does trauma equates to hurt? Because still in my adulthood, I don't feel like I was hurt because of it. If that makes sense.
Well, often we can normalize our trauma.
That makes sense. But I've had trauma as of last year and I felt hurt. So I would call that trauma because it was trauma, like it gave me a headache, it gave me depression. But this kind of sex, as you say, normalize it, I would say definitely yes, because I don't feel that what I went through, someone else might went through the same thing and they feel different. Like my brother, like they won't even talk to me.
That's trauma. Your brother's. That is very traumatic.
Yeah, he's trauma. Yeah, so
that's trauma for your life.
Huh?
To go, that's trauma you experienced growing up gay. Your brothers start talking to you. They cut off. They severed the ties. That's very traumatic. Because I'm sure at that age you didn't really understand all the dynamics of what was happening. So it's traumatic. You know what I'm saying? It's traumatic. I think it's traumatic to be in a world where you're becoming of age, becoming something that everyone is saying is bad. That's in itself is traumatic.
Yeah. 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 Then later on, funny thing is then when it was, I would do it in public because I'm thinking you're just living life. And when they were saying no, that's when we started doing it in private.
Right.
And so,
because the thing is, if you were straight, you would have been reaffirmed. Like, oh yeah, get the girls, go date her, go have it, go, you know, go do it. Your father, like, oh, So straight boys are definitely reaffirmed to be that way. But I'm like you. I would be young and just being in the world, being who I was, and like I learned from a young age that like who I was instinctually was wrong, and not only wrong, but some man in the sky hated it. Like, hey, you know what I'm saying? So it was like it was for me. Like, did I have any real trauma per se? Like, no, but like it was very traumatic. The micro trauma growing up in the world where I knew from a young age that I had to put on airs or pretend to be someone else, just to, and then so the trauma manifests, like, so I'm 40 years old and I still have trouble like finding out where my authentic self is. I only know from a young age, I only know how to be what you want me to be in front of you. Like I have no enemies. I've never had any enemies because although I have charisma, I'm very charismatic. It's to a fault because I make everyone like me. So it's like, I have no center of myself because I'm only whoever is in front of me. If that's what they're getting, what they want, I give it to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I did that. I stopped doing that last year and I gained a lot of enemies.
Yeah.
Because I saw a quote that says, no man on this earth can be themselves 100% because you will make enemies.
But don't overcorrect it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because then you don't want to be like combative for the sake of being combative. Then everyone will hate you. So I think society is like living in the world is navigating when to go. You know what I'm saying? Like
by being wise, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But only you know the boundary between who is you and what battles you want to fight. You know what I'm saying?
Right. What's worth it?
You love to fight a lot of battles, don't you? You fight a lot of battles. I don't know how you do it.
Actually, I would say recently, yes, but in the past, I've been very codependent. Okay. So I kept a lot of things in and I didn't express myself not until 3 years ago. And wow. Because as you're saying, it's like, okay, so at 19 and a half, like a timeline here, 19 and a half, I was living for a God. Like I had no sense of self. And then when I had to learn about the world, I was me. And then when I was having a hard time navigating, I learned real quick. So what did I do learning real quick? I started noticing you needed to be codependent to deal with people as you're mentioning. Like
who are you codependent on?
Oh, being codependent as in like people pleasing, either be afraid what to say or give them like a mechanism that I've, one of my traits is anyone that's in my life, they get 100% all the time, constantly, until they wear me. If they're not appreciative, when they wear me so thin, and the pendulum goes full swing, and I just block them 100%. That has been my whole life, and I've been pleasing people like from let's say 20 until like 35. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm almost 42. Not 42, but I'm also almost 40 as well. Yeah. And so next year. And so not until like 3 years ago, pandemic and 2019, when I was like getting my ball rolling, whatever. And I was just like, you know what? And I'm noticing more. And then when pandemic happened, it forced me, it's kind of like the pandemic was a bully that pushed you on that wall, look at you in their face and be like, boo, doo, 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 doo. That's how it felt like. And then now I'm full on me. I'm full on. The thing with me though, I don't argue. You see those things on YouTube where people like arguing and go back and forth. I don't like chaotic discourse. Like I will hear you out because I'm never someone who's gonna like cut someone off or call name and bully and whatever. Cause I'm even people who hang out with me tell me like they love my sense of serenity. Like when I'm with them, they feel at ease and peaceful because that's who I am. So when someone wants to argue and call names, I let them. And if they if they want a response, I will respond. But if they keep attacking, then I will put like a rule on the conversation. I'll say, I would love to talk to you if you'd like to talk to me back, but these are the rules. No name calling, no attack, assassination of character. You need to come in a place of love with me. And if you're not able to do that, come back to me to have a conversation. And if they don't want to, I just block them. And yeah, because it's life is simple. And but some people, though, not politics, but when it comes to other things, because for 8 years now living in Brooklyn, I've always had roommates. Many of them, when I talk to them that way, because I also apply empathy and compassion, they've often turned around. I've had people come back and cry to me asking for forgiveness of how they behaved in the beginning, because I refuse. If I'm here, you need to meet me here. I won't get there with you. I refuse to. Like, you can be here all you want because that's your prerogative, but I will not join you. That's just me. So I bump head a lot because I'm just being me.
Well, I mean, see, I feel like we have to be careful when, like, it's not always like here or here. Sometimes it's like it's more of a plane. I have to be aware that like I can be arrogant and I can't think of like my ideas as like above or below. Like if I think of it like as a tier like this, uh-huh. then I'm lost. I'm just like I can't. I think of it as a plane. Mm-hmm. And also I try to say, okay, I see what you're saying. What would my life have to be like? Like, how did this person get to see this way? Like, yeah. how did they get, like, what would my life have to have been? Or what would I have had to experience to have led me to believe that? And, like, when the march happened, who was killed, the guy who was killed in Minnesota? What's his name? I forgot his name. George Floyd.
Floyd.
So, I live in Texas, right? So, I work at a very wealthy white restaurant, very wealthy white. And so when the thing happened, white people are so bold and brash where I work. They'll be like, excuse me, so what do you think? They'll be asking about like, what do you think they're running around here? Like really like not getting it at all. You know, I'm the one black waiter. And, you know, I never got upset with anybody. I came to understand that like, if I was from some ritzy Texas town,
yeah.
I genuinely wouldn't get it. I wouldn't get it either. You know, so yeah. I would really meet them in a place where most black folk would have been like, punch them in the head. But you know what I'm saying? Because they would get very ignorant, but they didn't come, like, I mean, the malicious, but like, I really understand most people who are racist don't experience themselves to be racist.
Yeah.
So I think they don't the racist. So if we go like, you're so, they don't, you can't, yeah, have a dialogue like that. Yeah. So I think I try to just understand where would I have to be to have come to that understanding. How did they get there?
Empathy. That's what you're talking about. Yeah. Give me 1 second. Let me.
Oh.
I'm gonna tell that person to come at 8 p.m. instead.
Oh, who?
But we don't need to rush.
Who's coming in?
Oh, that. I usually hang out with this guy at Wednesdays.
Oh, your husband?
No, we decided to be friends and try friendship out because for some reason gay men cannot be friends. So we've been seeing each other for like 6 weeks and we've just been friends and it's awesome. We watch this drag show. I think it's called Dragula.
I think we are at, like I keep saying, like we do not have our identities reaffirmed to us until we're like well into our 20s. So like when you are straight, you're dating and doing the dance since like 10 years old. Like, I mean, they have dances in fifth grade. Yes, girl, you can. And that is the society reaffirms that. Like it reaffirms the dynamic. You know how you're supposed to be. You know that you got to ask Susie to the dance and how the girls and the guys behave like you. This is all laid out for you.
Yep.
And not only do gays not have their selves reaffirmed to them saying it's okay, but that we only know how to interact by watching straights interact. I don't think that gay men are meant to interact like straight. So most gay men try to date like their friends Billy or Susie. You know what I'm saying? But like Billy and Susie are a whole different dynamic. And I think that gay men need to learn to see themselves outside of a heteronormative context because we're not heteronormative. So we're trying to behave like we're gonna have a house and a wife and a kids and get married. And like I don't think monogamy is for gay men. And it's okay. It's okay. I don't think monogamy is natural anyway. I don't think monogamy is like some moral. You know, I think that we gay men. Reestablish how we are going to date and navigate it because I don't think it's not working. Because you're right, it's not working. I don't know any gay men at all in my life who are dating or married who have any kind of dynamic I would want to be part of. I think a lot of gay men they end up trying to be monogamous, And because, you know, society and be moral, and that's not, doesn't work for gay men. Or they end up like cheating on each other,
right?
Never telling the other about it, never telling the other. And I was like, I think the gay men, we have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do.
I've done my work. I think what it comes down to, it is, I think the first step, not even think, I know the first step is you need to have self-awareness. Because if you don't have self-awareness, it's hard to elevate on the other steps. Once you have self-awareness of all of what you just said, then you started to implement that in your life and it comes to practice. And that's what I started doing in 2015. By the way, that's when I became Zen, 2015, and I started implementing these things in my life. And now, because of, especially last year, not having those four things I mentioned, I'm becoming more of a free human being without asking another human being for permission to breathe. Mm-hmm. And I have come to, how you call it, peace with my natural death, because I'm like, you know what? I watch those movies, let's say in the Holocaust or whatever else happened. If another human say, like with the vaccine or even anything else, like kiss my ass for a dollar, I'd rather die. Of course, I'm just saying it now. Like when people say, if you don't know until you are in the experience, of course there's that too. But I am such a free human being. Like when I was feeling it at first, it felt like orgasmic, like in here, like, so I think that's where people need to be, like gay men, straight, anybody, because like, if you are being in a relationship and you wanna pigeonholing yourself into a category or something what straight people do, this is because there's some issue there that you need to iron out.
There's no other metric by which to date. Like all we have is like Shakespeare and French poetry. Like there's so like romance in and of itself, the term romance is a heteronormative notion. So it's like, we don't even have the language to even like think outside of the box. Cause the box is the, you know what I'm saying? We're so entrenched in the box. So I think that like, it's a bit harder than like, it's more difficult than you think. Cause like literally yeah. like all that we know about dating and love is through the eyes of heteronormativity.
Yeah.
Also, too, I think that like self-awareness is okay, but I think self-awareness is like really more layered than people make it out to be, because self-awareness develops like in your teens, you become aware of the world. You want to go out in the world, okay? And when you go to college in your 20s, your self-awareness is like, I'm going to be who I am in the world, and I'm going to be, this is who I am. I'm going to get my hair in dreadlocks. I'm going to do this and get tattoos. In your 20s, it's all about that. That's your self-awareness. In your 30s, your self-awareness is myself. I know what the world is. I know who I am in the world. But how does the world see you? Do you have that awareness? And most people do not have that awareness. Because you can say all day long, I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm this, and I'm this. But it does not matter. If the world does not see that in you, or is not, if that's not how you are perceived,
yeah.
Perception is reality. And people get very, it's hard when you think you're one way and the world's not giving it back to you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whether it's like you think you're a great singer, but you're not getting the part you want, or you think you're a great wife, your husband's cheating on you. Like when the world, and I think you have to navigate that. And that's hard to navigate, because the truth of how the world sees you, or how you're perceived, is not always easy to stomach. You know what I'm saying?
Because
you can feel whoever, however you want to feel inside. If the world thinks you're a bitch, you know what I'm saying?
That's so true, because I have gone there. And when you're mentioning the layers of like age, I think I watched a thing, and I believe what they say. They say a man does not become a man until he's 40. And I have become a man before that. I'm heading on my 40s, but I can understand what they're talking about. Like I can feel it. And when you're talking about with how the world sees you, it is so true, because there are so many things like Actually, I listen to podcasts when I do yoga and working out or doing chores. And I was listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer today. And this lady was saying how she'd done all this in her life. And she still feels that all of it was meaningless. But she's successful in the eyes of the world. But mm-hmm. she feels unfulfilled. And then Wayne Dyer asked her, what did you want to do all in your life? Let's say if you could do anything and the world doesn't matter. And she says she wants to be a humanitarian because that's her thing. And then he told her, go ahead and do that. And when you do that, do not think of money or how to survive, because the universe will provide. You know when they say God will provide, or universe will provide? You will find a way. When you're in the zone, that flow, you will find a way. And ways will come for you for you, because that's how the universe works. And that's why I realized in practice in 2020, because we're almost a year in without taking a vaccine, and I still eat well. I'm in a nice stew yesterday. I eat like a king. I'm grateful I still have a roof over my head. Of course, if someone said you need to move, it's going to be tough. But at the same time, it's still where I'm at.
If you carry your life, like, where do you hope to, I really want to know, where do you hope to get with the battle with the vaccine? Like, what do you hope to happen?
Well, so it's not exactly a battle, but when it comes to the vaccine thing, my personal thing is, if, I think you know what did it for me, when Biden went on and say, if you don't do this, I'm not quoting him exactly, but he's like, if you don't do this, we're going to make you do it because I'm tired of your bitches. Something like that.
He did not say that. That's not even internalized.
No, he didn't say it like that. Even but if he was the thing.
Even if he did say that.
Yeah, so my thing is, who are you to want to put something into my body? So that's what my fight is. I want to keep my body integrity. But if it was like a thing where everyone did, and I was willingly taking it, then I would have taken it, because I've taken other vaccines before, HPV vaccine, tetanus vaccine, and whatever else vaccine, but it was willingly because I learned something and I said, okay, I want to do this for myself. But a dictator say, if you don't do this, we're going to take your job away from you. What any teenager going to do? Fuck you. I'm not going to do it to their parents. So that's where I'm at.
And I feel like a lot of people with the vaccine thing are like that. And I'm like, I get that, yes. But like,
I know it's ego.
But I'm like, how did you internalize? How did you personalize and address Joe Biden to the nation? You made it about you and him. Like, I feel like it's, I get it. But I'm like, okay, because aside from that, like, can you talk about like the logistics of herd immunity or like, I mean, because I don't know. I mean, I honestly do not. I don't care what you do. I really don't.
Sure,
Do you feel like you are like not furthering the cause of like possibly eradicating COVID? Because I feel like as long as people don't get vaccinated, I mean, I don't care. But there will always be, that's the reason why COVID exists. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do get that. Like, I heard that argument.
It's like fulfilling. It's like, well, I see what you're doing. But you're calling the problem. Like you are the problem now.
Yeah, I do hear you. But how many of what you just said can apply to different aspects of life that humans are not doing, right?
Yeah.
And so a big argument I had even before talks of vaccine, and I got in big trouble about it because I referred HIV. And sexual behavior. Not even HIV, I referred other disease. And people got on my ass about it. And I'm just wanna have a conversation.
What did you say about it? I feel like that makes sense.
So basically, I don't think I really mentioned HIV, but I mentioned, I made a meme that says, because I do my prep, I'm on prep. So I did like a prep visit. And then I was like negative on all terms, whatever. And then COVID happened and I was stuck at home and I couldn't meet anybody. And I made a meme that says, if everyone did their tests right now, and if they find out something and then they clean it out, then STDs overall would be eradicated this year. something that, like that. And people feel, you know, sensitive about those things. I understand. And then I started posting a lot of things that happened in the 80s because I started watching, like, as we all did. And just like any disease, it's kind of similar because the behavior patterns of not only gay people, but anyone else, behavior patterns of having sex with condom or without, and people are still getting STDs and HIV. So in the 80s, even in the 90s, people were saying those gay people need to do this, da da da, da so they can help, da 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 da. I think it can be not even applied when it comes to disease. It can apply to life. Like if you basically don't get in credit card debt, da 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 da, or if you behave in your family, da 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 da, if you are a good boyfriend, if you do this, if you do that. Like, I feel like I do agree with you 100%. But that can be applied to a lot of aspects in life. And I feel like no one is perfect, can do everything. And as I mentioned, as a teenager who has a hard head, I just like, I'm doing it because I have the freedom of my body. If I want to take it, I will take it. I don't want to take the pressure of the public who's going to shame me. And I don't want to take the pressure of the government who's going to force me to do it. Or my doctor, she's nice, but she keeps like annoying me about it. And because of that, I'm like, as any human being, when you're being forcing them to do something, most beings are like fighting back, even if it's good for them. Because,
but I mean, but look, look, but see, is that fighting back notion, is that, does that serve us? Does that serve, is that a good quality you want to go to? Is that, you know what I'm saying? Like, is that a good?
Yeah, it's not, I feel like overall in life, it's,
like always being a skeptic.
It's not good. Yeah, it's not good because actually in my life, you know that term when it says against racism?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against things as a being because the word against, I believe like words have energy.
Well it's combative.
Right, exactly. So I think, okay, in one word or one sentence, it's a freedom over my choice, what I do with my body. Basically, that's it.
Well, yeah, you're making a point.
That's it.
I get it.
But you are 100% right. I totally agree. And I am, how you call it?
No, bro, I'm not getting no boosters. I ain't getting no boosters. I got my shot. I'm done. Like, I said, no, I'm getting my, I got my one shot. Fuck a booster. I was like, I'm not getting shots every 6 months. I'm not doing it. It's like, I don't care what they say. But I got my shot. I want to keep my job. So I keep my shot. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Right,
I mean,
right. Like, I think most people are doing it for their job. If they didn't threaten people's jobs, people would not take it. Because I have a lot of friends in the entertainment industry. They only take it because they go like, oh, I can't work now. And
you know what? Very well, in like 2 years, we could all have a third arm. Our kids could all be wearing like four eyes. Like, honestly, we don't, I mean, like the test they've done on this vaccine is like nothing. Like you can only do tests over time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's a little scary. I'm like, girl, I mean, this could be like the end of our whole human race. Cause like, we don't know. We don't even know. Go that vaccine hurt my arm so bad. My whole arm was just dead the whole week. You hear me? I was like, what did you put in my arm? Huh? Girl, I was out for a week. I couldn't even lose. I was a gimp.
Okay. I have a funny joke for you.
Huh?
I have a funny joke for you.
But let me tell you, I did get COVID and it was when I tell you, it was terrible. I got COVID last August. When I tell you, I've never in my life, girl, I thought I was dying. Like, girl, I'm dying.
Did you know you had COVID?
Huh? No, it was COVID. Yeah, I had it. I was just, girl, I have never in my life, just the fever was so high and I was so tired. I was like, Mom, I don't want to live. I couldn't breathe.
I had the flu before and
it's like times five. It's crazy. So I hope you don't get it, but I promise you, if you do get it, you get the vaccine. You're gonna get the vaccine, I promise you. When I got it, I said, no, man. I said, I'm getting the damn vaccine. Because I said, no, man. I've never been sick a day in my life. I really haven't had any kind of sickness. I've had the flu, really. I was out.
I know people say that if you get it, you change your mind. But you, I'll tell you something, because I'm not ashamed of it. I've had, in my lifetime, syphilis 3 times.
Girl, me too. Who has
getting been? That fucking shot?
Hello.
That shot?
Look at me. Jen, when I was living in, I guess it was in Hong Kong, China makes you get that shot 4 times. You're going to get it 4 times on 4 separate occasions. Do you hear me? They make
four
you do
times?
It. Four fucking times. I'm like, I said, why? And they do it to shame you. Because the doctor was like, oh, because I was like, girl, if the CDC says that this is not only one shot, why are you making it before? Girl, four times?
I bet.
And I was in, girl, I was in China. Really in China, girl, they would throw you in jail. So I was, girl, fine. I'll get my little shot. But bitch, I got syphilis in Japan and China, bitch, and in fucking Greece. Girl, I've had it on every continent. I'm a hoe. It's okay. I'm a hoe. It's okay.
It's how okay, you know matter, why? Okay. Because God didn't come down to earth to judge you, so no human girl, being can do that.
But you know what's funny? I've only had STDs when I moved to New York City in like, 2010. Bitch, yes. The first, girl, I got everything. Girl, and New York gave me all the STDs. I had it.
Yes, it's so true. When I lived in Boston, I had nothing. Zero.
I had all of them. I was like, So what's happening?
So girl, basically with the shot thing, I was making a joke how the syphilis shot hurts for like 10 days. Woo. In your Jesus, bones, wait. Just like the COVID shot. And
it wasn't that bad, but yeah. No, I mean, no, syphilis shot is a horrible shot. Like, that goes through your bone marrow. I was like, oh my God. Ooh, Lord. Ooh. I can feel it now. I can feel the shot now. Oh, God.
You're getting body memory.
I am. Like, oh, that is such an awful feeling. There's no feeling like that.
So basically, I mentioned that because I'm saying how it's human behavior when it comes to anything.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to say no. People are going to fight. People are going to be like, not for me. Da, da, da. People are going to have sex bareback and get syphilis. My all first time, I was shocked. And then, I got it four times. Why did I get it?
Excuse me, see that. Yeah, girls. Hi, I'm here. I'm back. I'm back again. It's me again. Hey, y'all. It's me. Girl,
so when you go to NYC clinics, they do shame you. I don't go to NYC clinics. They shame
they
you.
They do? I went to the one. I mean, honestly, I promise you, I cannot feel shame. I'll be like, who'd you fuck? I don't know. So she said, call all your partners. Call all my partners, bitch. I don't even know their fucking names, girl. What partners, girl? Please, girl. They would say, make sure you call all your partners. Call my partners. Do you know me, bitch? I don't know no names, bitch. I can't be helping a PSA on Grindr, girl. PSA. If you've been on my street and my block, bitch. Girl, please. They don't know how gay men fuck. We are hoes. Think about it. I mean, but I want you to really introspect where the shame comes from, because you can transcend shame. You can.
Puritan.
Well, I mean, how do you? Because do you? When do you feel shame? Do you ever feel shame? Or like, when do you feel shame?
What did I feel shame about? Let me think for a second.
Because I honestly, I don't. There is not. I don't feel shame per se. I've never felt. I think once I came out of the closet, once I went to rehab, girl, and I was like, girl, I've gone down so many dark roads that I'm like, girl, I can't. I mean, all that has happened can happen. So to me, so I'm like, I don't, right, I really. Right. Yeah.
I can tell you when I get shame. I get shame when people, let's say what people tend to do to me, they tend to, and I don't play that game anymore. But in the past, I felt to it. They used to antagonize me. And then when I get to the, when I bark back, and then they go like, see, la, 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 la. Because I uphold myself to a standard, and that's my life. I don't go tell people, hey, you need to be Zen too. I'm just doing my Zen stuff. Just for me, that's what works for me. But people would antagonize me. They're still antagonizing me now. But the blood button, I said, the blood button is my best friend. If you want to have a friendly discourse, we can. But if you want to antagonize me for the sake of it, I'll just block you. Because I'm not going to get to the level of like matching your energy. That's when I would feel shame, because I'll be like, oh, I feel ashamed for going to that level and behave like that they behave because I know better. That's when I feel shame. But when it comes to shame of self, I don't think I ever feel that, because I mentioned I grew up crippled. I wasn't able to speak and walk well, and I made fun of all my life. So therefore I've got used to that. And I've always uphold myself as a son of God. That's what I've called myself. And growing up religious, that was blasphemy even. Until this day, I don't feel shame. People tell me, oh, you're just human, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, that's
now, what is unique about the Jehovah's Witness faith, the Jehovah's Witness? What is the uniqueness about that faith? The 144,000 people, what is it with Jehovah's Witness?
Oh, it's all a bunch of fairy tale bullshit.
But I mean, like, because what is it? What is the thing? Because I'm like Baptist, so like,
so basically, just like any most religion, like Mormons or anything else, or Jehovah's Witness, They say we're special, we're the true religion, mm-hmm. and if you're not part of that, that at the end of the days, we're gonna get raptured and you're gonna die. So that therefore they're special, and the 44,000, they're gonna go live with God in heaven, but the ones who are not 44,000 gonna stay on this earth on paradise forever. It's all about scare tactics, fear mongering, shame, guilt, judgment. It's all about those emotions that are toxic.
Is that how you feel? Is that how you feel about it now?